Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network, this live edition on Thursday, April 18th, 2019. Walker Wildman here, sitting in for my dad, Tim Wildman, and Ed Battagliano. Fred Jackson here in the studio with us, and Dr. Ray Pritchard from Kansas City, Kansas. Fred, Ray, welcome to the show.
Good to be here on the day before Good Friday. And in the news business, normally it would be a quiet day. Not today. Boy, it is busy, and it's only going to get busier as the day goes on.
Well, what a day. What an amazing day. I mean, here we are, Fred, heading into the end of Holy Week. Mm-hmm. Normally our thoughts are turning in that direction, and they will. But a lot of news coming out of Washington. Walker, good to be with you today.
Glad to have you, Ray. Before we jump into the news, Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about your website, and also, you know, with it being Easter, with it being Holy Week, some of the resources they can get at your website.
If anybody will come to our website, keepbelieving.com, you'll find at the top a big banner, and it says Easter Resources. There are 58 sermons, full text, covering the events of the last week, starting with Palm Sunday, going through every day of the week, and going through what happened on Good Friday, Silent Saturday, and then, of course, Triumphant Easter Sunday. So if you're looking for biblical resources, either for your own devotional life, or maybe you're a pastor, teacher, and you looking for some good material to share with others, just come on over to keepbelieving.com, and you can use anything that's on our website. It's all free. We want to help you as we together celebrate our Lord's crucifixion and remember and celebrate his resurrection from the dead.
Amen. And on that topic, tomorrow on American Family Radio on Friday, there will be no Trivia Friday tomorrow, so we'll have some special programming. Probably, I would want to bet, revolving around Easter weekend. So stay tuned to American Family Radio, and there will be no Trivia Friday tomorrow. Fred, what's going on in the news?
Wow. Well, the Attorney General William Barr did 90 minutes ago, or as we speak right now, being released publicly, he is releasing, and he didn't have to do this. The Attorney General did not have to do this. He is releasing the 400-page Robert Mueller report, which basically summarizes, goes over what Robert Mueller has been doing for the last 2 years in investigating the alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians in the 2016 election, and whether the president tried to obstruct justice after he became president with regards to the investigation. Now, as I say, this full 400-page, somewhat redacted report is being released at this moment. Reporters are getting it. Members of Congress are getting it. But about an hour and a half ago, the Attorney General, William Barr, held a news conference. Again, he didn't have to do this, but he held a news conference where he basically repeated, remember back a couple of weeks ago, he released a 4-page summary of what Mueller had concluded. So in advance of releasing the whole 400-page to the public today, he held a news conference and he summarized once again what Mueller had concluded. And the big thing is, and he repeated this over and over again, after 2 years of investigation, after thousands of subpoenas, after interviews with hundreds of people, Robert Mueller, not William Barr, the Attorney General, Robert Mueller and his team of Democrat lawyers concluded that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign during the 2016 election campaign, and no collusion whatsoever, not only between Trump and his team, but no American. He stressed that over again. So here's about a 1-minute montage of what Attorney General William Barr had to say about no collusion. Cut number 4.
As you will see, the special counsel's report states that his, quote, investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities, did not have the cooperation of President Trump or the Trump campaign. No evidence that any American, including anyone associated with the Trump campaign, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government, no collusion by any Americans in IRA's illegal activities. There was no evidence of the Trump campaign collusion, did not find that any person associated with the Trump campaign illegally participated. The special counsel did not find any conspiracy involving Russian-linked persons and any persons associated with the Trump campaign. Did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts.
Wow. Well, there you have it.
I'm getting mixed signals there, Ray. I'm getting mixed signals. Was there collusion or was there not?
How many times did he say "did not find"?
You know, this is absolutely. It's kind of laughable in one sense, but this is a pretty big deal, and that is, yeah, people who knew that President Trump was not guilty of any of these accusations, for those of us who were in that camp, this is a sigh of relief. But it's humorous in the sense that the Democrats spent 2 to 3 years hammering this point that ended up not being true. But on a serious note, our government spent $30 million, hired 15 Democrat donating prosecutors, spied on American citizens, accused people, innocent people, of doing things illegal when they didn't do things illegal, made all this information public. And it turns out it was all false. Yep. None of it was true. And even politically motivated prosecutors, or at least politically leaning Democrat prosecutors, couldn't find anything to come against President Trump, nor anybody else associated with him when it comes to these charges.
Well, here's what's amazing. Again, we have to stress, this is not Attorney General William Barr's report that's being released today. This is the Robert Mueller report. The Democrats have been telling, and the mainstream media have been telling the American people for the last 2 years, yeah, there's evidence there. There had to be collusion, 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 collusion. Robert Mueller said, after all the work that he did, all the interviews, all the subpoenas, no evidence of collusion. It is Robert Mueller's collusion
report.
Robert Mueller's report that is being released today. Despite all of this, because the Democrats and the mainstream media do not like the conclusion of Robert Mueller, now they're trying to find that Mueller somehow favored Donald Trump. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That Mueller is somehow a friend of Donald Trump, and that's why. And also making the accusation against William Barr that he is spinning. This news conference this morning, he's been accused of spinning the report. Stop and think about this for a second. William Barr has been around for a long time. He's former attorney general under George W. Bush. All right. Been around a long time. He's a pretty cool character. Do you actually think he would go out before those reporters this morning and attempt to spin a 400-page report, which he's about to release?
Right.
How stupid could you be?
Ray,
to try to spin that.
Yeah, you're right. Ray, let me ask you this. You know, the conclusions are clear here. The Attorney right. General, who up until the past few weeks was widely respected by all by both parties, this Attorney General William Barr. Ray, how much longer can the Democrats continue this hype before voters, independents, maybe even some Democrats say, look, this is getting out of hand?
Well, how much longer can they continue? As long as they have life and breath,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
You know, on one hand. But the real part of your question is, how long can they continue what they're doing and finally lose the support of, say, fair-minded Americans who are in the middle? I don't think they can go much longer down this road. Because, look, let's just turn this around another way. Isn't the following statement true? When you have Bob Mueller and you have his Democrat lawyers and you have the $30 million and all the things they did that you mentioned, Walker, if there had been collusion, would they not have found it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the chances that somebody behind the scenes in the Trump campaign was doing something with the Russians that Mueller didn't discover? Like, it's zero.
Right.
It's less than zero. And that must be the frustrating point for the Democrats today, because if there had been anything wrong everything, frankly, was stacked in their favor. And I got to feel sorry, too, for Bob Mueller because, you know, he's suddenly being disinvited from every celebration party the Democrats are going to hold because he was their savior. They were invested in him. And now in his own report has cleared the president of collusion and, frankly, of obstruction of justice. I don't know where they go from here.
All right. The obstruction of justice. I'm going to predict this is what the media and the Democrats will likely focus in on today and in the following days, because in the Mueller report, he did not come to a conclusion. He provided evidence on both sides of whether the Trump administration tried to obstruct the Mueller investigation into this, whether he you know, his interactions with the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. Well, William Barr, the attorney general, addressed that issue this morning during the news conference. Cut number five.
President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was, in fact, no collusion. And as the special counsel's report acknowledges, there is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. Nonetheless, the White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no privilege claims.
So, what is William Barr saying there? It is understandable why the president was upset with the Mueller investigation because, number one, he knew, the president knew, there was no collusion.
Right.
He knew in his heart. There was no collusion. But also, he was giving he was getting the same information we started to get about the FBI, the anti-Trump attitude of the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and in the FBI, high-ranking in the FBI, that they were out to get him. So he's president. He knows he's got corrupt people in the FBI who hated him, who didn't want him elected. He was aware, as we were aware, that when Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI, Peter Strzok, with regards to the server at her house, they didn't even put her under oath.
Right.
Any reasonable person would conclude that he was upset with his own Justice Department. But number two, you heard William Barr just say, despite all of that frustration and anger, no one in the White House, the president, did not try to stop Robert Mueller from doing his investigation.
Yes, and some in the media, and this is on the top of Drudge right now, some in the media are trying to accuse the Attorney General of using President Trump's feelings towards this investigation as a basis for the Attorney General's conclusions, and that is not what the Attorney General said in the press conference. The Attorney General said that the president insisted emphatically over and over and over again, which he did publicly too, that there was no obstruction, no collusion, and the testimony of a key witness, the president, is important. What they say, such as when someone's arrested and trying to be charged on a crime, their testimony, their insistence that they're innocent, is weighed in to the evidence. So that's just interesting that the media is trying to spin that, Ray.
You know, Walker, it seems like you've touched on a very important point here. The president insisted on his innocence, and it's a huge thing that the White House did not stand in the way. They said, come in, investigate. You want these documents. Here they are. You want to interview people. You can talk to them. They didn't do anything to obstruct the effort of the Mueller team. That's one thing. And I noticed also that Attorney General Barr said the president could have claimed executive privilege, which presidents do from time to time, but he didn't. That seems to me another point, Fred, that argues in favor of the fact that the president in this case, had nothing to hide during this investigation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, presidential legal advisors were allowed, as according to custom, were allowed to review this 400-page report. They made no recommendations under executive privilege to change anything in the report, to add to the redactions. So that's an important point that William Barr made this morning during the news conference. That's going to be cut number six, Adam.
These redactions were applied by Department of Justice attorneys working closely together with attorneys from the special counsel's office, as well as the intelligence community. And prosecutors are handling the ongoing cases. The redactions are their work product. There were no redactions done by anybody outside this group.
All right. Well, that's a clip. That was a clip of Attorney General Barr, right?
Yes.
About who had redaction authority, meaning who could black out certain paragraphs and sentences in the 400-plus page report. But one thing before we continue talking about this, if you want to read more about this report, about the Attorney General's press conference, go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. President Trump has responded to this.
Just a few moments ago, okay. There's a ceremony for Wounded Warriors going on at the White House, but just because the report is being released right now, President Trump, just a few moments ago, did respond to what's being made public today. Cut number 10.
And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction. There never was, by the way, and there never will be. And we do have to get to the bottom of these things, I will say. And this should never happen. I say this in front of my friends, Wounded Warriors, and I just call them warriors because we just shook hands and they look great. They look so good, so beautiful. But I say it in front of my friends, this should never happen to another president again. This hoax. It should never happen to another president again. Thank you.
And he's saying what a lot of people are saying, what needs to be done now is investigate the investigators.
Let me ask you this, Fred, and then we'll get Ray's input. Do we have the clip where Attorney General Barr was asked the question claiming that this is that basically that Mueller is in charge here and why isn't Mueller at the press conference?
Yes.
And then the Attorney General jumps in and says he's in charge.
We'll play that for you right now. Cut number 8.
There's a lot of public interest in the absence of the special counsel and members of his team. Was he invited to join you up on the podium? Why is he not here? This is his report, obviously, that you're talking about today.
No, it's not.
The report he did for me as the Attorney General.
Yeah, that's why he's not invited.
Ray.
The report was to me.
Ray, how about that? The Attorney General putting his foot down there, telling the reporter who's in charge.
Well, God bless him. It's about time we had a man like Attorney General Barr, who, as you said, Walker, until a few weeks ago, everybody lauded, almost universally respected. Mm-hmm. He has handled himself, it seems to me, through a difficult time here. I think he's handled himself very, very, very well. Fred, I got a question for you. Does this mean, in your judgment, are we going to, I'm thinking about the other side, the Democrats, are they going to drop the collusion argument now and just go straight after obstruction of justice?
I think what's going to happen, the Democrats, at least the House Judiciary Committee, is already put out there. They would like Mueller to appear before them to testify. Now, what legal right he has to say no if he's subpoenaed on that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Whether he has a right to say no. But here's my thought on this. The Democrats definitely are not happy with what Mueller concluded. Mm-hmm. Therefore, in order to try to keep this going, to try to discredit President Trump in any way that they can, they're going to continue to try to spin this out, the obstruction claims and all that sort of thing. Listen to what Maxine Waters had to say in the last 24 hours. She's a high-profile Democrat, and referring to William Barr, I predict this is what you're going to hear over and over again today and in the next few days. Cut number one.
I never expected Barr to do anything that would be respectful to the members of Congress. He auditioned for this job. He was chosen to protect the President of the United States. He is basically a lackey and a sycophant for the President of the United States of America, and that's all it's going to be.
Wow.
Some other Democrats said that William Barr is a hand-picked player. Well, that's the way it works in the United States. The man who's in the White House gets to nominate who his attorney general will be.
Yeah, this is a political appointment. Like it or not, the
attorney general is handpicked.
The attorney general is a political appointment. Now, he's supposed to carry out the law faithfully, but he's not like the head of the, not the Treasury, but it used to be Janet Yellen, but they claim that the president's not supposed to have a say on the
Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve, the interest rates, all that stuff like that, are like judgeships. The judges are not political appointments. They're there to rule on the law. But William Barr is President Trump's attorney general. He works for the president. So in that sense, that's true. But look, this is really shameful, and I know we've kind of gotten numb to this whole thing where the Democrats, they slander people, and they've been doing this for decades. They did it to Kavanaugh, they did it to Gorsuch, they've done it to Trump for 3 years now. You know, this is not a new game per se, Ray, but this is very low. It's one thing to have political disagreements and think we need Medicare for all, and the other party says, no, we don't, we can't afford it. That's politics in America. It's been going on for 200-plus years. But for sitting members of Congress to go after a man by the name of William Barr, who, from all public records, is a man that goes by the books, he respects the law, and he does things fairly, to start slandering him like this is really, really low.
Isn't this just another form of blame the messenger?
Yeah.
I mean, William Barr, universally respected, as you said, until a few weeks ago. He came into this whole thing very, very, very late in the process. Had nothing to do with Bob Mueller and his investigation, pro or con. He's just the one who delivers the news. I think that people on the left are angry, obviously, because the report is their worst nightmare. There's no evidence. It's so interesting, isn't it, Fred? No interest, no evidence that any American, not just the president, but any American colluded with the Russians. That's as complete an exoneration as you could hope for. And then to say there's no there's no evidence, Attorney General Barr says, of any obstruction of justice. They're blaming him, I think, because they really don't have anybody else they can get to. And the president, he is he's enjoying a good day today, as he should.
Well, here's the bottom line. Democrats, we're heading into the 2020 election. They've got nothing else. They have got to.
That's true.
This is their game plan. They've got nothing else. They're upset that Mueller didn't conclude what they wanted him to conclude.
Yeah.
But they've got nothing else to take to the American people.
Right.
They've obstructed the president when he's trying to build a wall to protect this country. They have nothing good to say about a roaring economy that's doing extremely well. We did the story earlier this week that donations to the president's re-election campaign far exceeds anything any Democrat is getting. They have the embarrassment of the AOCs and the Omars. They've got nothing to go to the American people but this.
Right.
And so that's why they're going to try to continue this fight, but the American people aren't buying it anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, all the Gallup polls in the last year or two have shown that the whole Russia investigation, what is now the Russia hoax, is like at the bottom of the list on issues that voters care about, even Democrats.
Yes.
Even Democrats. So nonetheless, we'll talk about this more after the break. Ray Pritchard with us, Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman. We'll be back with more of today's issues on American Family Radio after about a 2 or 3 minute break.
Thank you. on the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
This is Dan Celia from Financial Issues.
You know, we look at the volatility in the markets right now, or the lack of anything in the markets, and this is a great time to take a pause, rethink all of our portfolio, look at our asset allocation model. Are we following the asset allocation model as it should be? Are we overweighted one place or another? You know, I've been an advocate for biblically responsible investing for many, many years. I've been an advocate for charitable gift annuity because I'm an advocate for permanent income. Call the AFA Foundation to start talking about it.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or by visiting afafoundation.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. You won't believe what the Houston Public Library did. That story next.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News. And one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu.
The Houston Public Library says they mistakenly allowed a convicted sex offender to read books to small children. It happened during a drag queen storytime hour. The Houston Chronicle reports Alberto Garza was convicted of aggravated sexual assault of an 8-year-old in 2009. Turns out the public library failed to conduct a background check. They apologized. The only reason the incident was uncovered was because of the efforts of Houston Mass Resistance, a pro-family activist group. Clearly, there has been a breach of trust. It is simply unacceptable to expose children to possible danger, and the only way to repair the damage is for the city to fire the library's leadership. And in the future, background checks should be mandatory before allowing anyone wearing a feather boa to convert with children. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker Wildman here, sitting in. Fred Jackson, also onenewsnow.com, is the website that Fred Jackson is over, and Fred is also director of American Family News, which you hear at the top of, or the bottom, the top of each hour. You got the 5-minute newscast by American Family News. You'll hear voices like Steve Jordahl, Chris Woodward, and others bringing you the news of the day. We got Ray Pritchard with us from Kansas City. Before we jump to our go to our guest, I want to mention that you can go to our website, onenewsnow.com, and read all the news of the day, and you can read in-depth information and news about this Russia investigation report that the Attorney General has just released within the last 30 minutes or so. So you can go to onenewsnow.com, Fred.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, on American Family Radio, we have a lot of great programs, preaching programs, and programs that deal with prophecy and the Middle East and Israel. And one of my favorite programs is Understanding the Times. Here I heard on American Family Radio Saturday at 1 o'clock Central and Sunday at 12 noon. And the host of that program is Jan Markell, who heads up Olive Tree Ministries. And Jan joins us on the line right now from Minnesota. I think she is from Minnesota.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Ah, good to have you today. The snow has left Minnesota. You know I've got to talk about the weather.
Well, we have spring here finally.
You have spring. Well, congratulations.
Finally.
Hey, listen, Jan, we haven't talked to you for a few weeks. Israel election is over, and there were a lot of predictions leading into the election campaign that it was going to be a close one and that Prime Minister Netanyahu could actually lose, but it didn't turn out that way. In fact, I think it was a fairly significant win. Your thoughts on all of this, and why was it that Netanyahu didn't seem to have a big problem winning that election?
Well, I think it comes down to, in Israel, they've got a leftist media, as does America, and there are a lot of parallels, actually, but even the exit polls after the election were skewed by the leftist media, and I think Bibi won rather handily. It's his fifth term. Again, it was interrupted at one time by a number of years, but he's still the longest-serving prime minister. And, you know, I think the interesting thing in comparing both Israel and America would be that, and these are probably the two most, primary free nations of the world, the primary free leaders of the world would be Netanyahu and Donald Trump, and they're both nationalists. Neither one of them are globalists. Neither one of them are interested in a kind of a one-world system that the Bible paints, particularly Revelation 13 paints a global system. These two guys aren't interested in a one world. They're interested in bettering, improving, and furthering their own country. And, you know, you can't find that hardly anywhere else. Try to find a European leader really interested in that, or a communist leader, or an Arab leader. Of course, they kind of have their own ideas with Sharia law. But my only point is, these guys are their nation first.
Very interesting. How important do you think the relationship between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump played into the minds of voters in Israel?
Big time. Because the voters in Israel, no matter what their political persuasion, they do really appreciate Donald Trump for all sorts of reasons. But just look at some of the things here in the last couple of years that he's done, not the least of which is moving the embassy, of course, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But Israelis love Donald Trump, and Donald Trump provided an ad on behalf of Benjamin Netanyahu for that election. Now, keep in mind the previous president back in, I think it was 2015, interfered in Israel's election to try to defeat Netanyahu. And the present administration, Donald Trump, made an effort to elect Netanyahu. Again, these two guys were friends a long time ago. They're not new friends. They've known each other quite a while. So I think, that's a long answer to your question, Fred, but there's a strong bond right now between America and Israel that's only good for America, because we will come under the Genesis 12:3 blessing.
Jan, Ray Pritchard here. We've heard a lot in the last few months, on and off, sort of popping up now and then, talk about the so-called deal of the century. Yeah. That President Trump he's alluded to, Jared Kushner supposedly involved in this. Does the re-election of Prime Minister Netanyahu, does it change that equation? And do we have any idea when this, quote, deal of the century is going to be announced, or maybe what's in it?
Well, yeah, I think yesterday it was announced that it will happen after Ramadan, which is in June, I think early June. This thing has been pushed back a dozen times, which makes you wonder, you know, why is it delayed all the time and had to be delayed for Israel's elections, kind of one thing after another. Then it was going to be announced on her Independence Day of May 14th. Now it's moved to past Ramadan. And I think the problem with the whole thing, there's only six people who know what's in it. I had Michelle Bachmann on my program both last weekend, and part two is this coming weekend, and we talk about it there for, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. But the problem with the whole thing, I mean, the problem is, why any deal whatsoever? There's no deal in the Bible that God has that we need to alter Israel's boundaries or anything like that. So no matter what the deal is, it's not going to be biblical. But another problem is Israel has no so-called peace partner who wants anything to do with any of this. Keep in mind, some of you might remember back to 2000 with Ehud Barak as Prime Minister, Bill Clinton. But Barak came asking for, I think, it was outrageous. Whatever he was asking, I don't remember the details, but it was simply outrageous as far as land grabs and things like that. And Prime Minister Ehud Barak granted him 95% of his wishes. I think the only thing he didn't offer him was Jerusalem. And Yasser Arafat walked away and said, we don't want it. They don't have a peace partner. There's nobody to make a deal with. Mm. So this thing will go up in flames the day it's presented to the so-called Palestinian people. Yeah. I guarantee you it's going nowhere, but supposedly going to happen in June.
Jan, this is Walker here. Tell our listeners about your ministry, Olive Tree Ministries, and your show that airs on AFR and other networks.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do sort of what today's issues, your program, is doing, and that's apprising people of what in the world is going on, because it says in 2 Chronicles 12 that God was pleased with the sons of Issachar who understood the times. Hmm. And it's a big project to help folks, church people, understand the times, but I enjoy doing it, and they love learning, so we're doing it together, gentlemen, so thank you. We air Saturday at 1 Central, Sunday at noon Central.
Excellent. All right, Jan, thank you for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye now.
Well, there you have it, Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries. I want to jump, before we have our next guest, we're going to have Dr. David Jeremiah, which many of you know, at least I hope you know. He's a host of Turning Point that you hear on American Family Radio, and he's an author of numerous books. But I want to jump back into this Mueller report and talk a little bit more about it and see if we have any more clips that we might want to get to, Fred.
Yeah, well, you can expect, just I'm making this prediction based on history here. You're going to have your TV news this evening filled with Democrats saying this is unjust, this is unfair, we're going to get to the bottom of this. They'll beat that drum. Of course, what happened today, William Barr had his news conference, the Attorney General, and the reporters there asking questions. And I just wanted to play one more reporter asking the question, was it improper for Barr to come out and what the reporter calls spin the report, which I find very interesting phrase, because a Democrat, I think it was Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, used the same phrase. So now the reporters are, without quoting, are using the same phrases as the Democrats.
Doesn't surprise me.
So this is cut number 9.
Impropriety for you to come out and sort of what appears to be sort of spinning the report before the public gets a chance to read it?
No. And at that point, William Barr walked off the stage. I've had enough of these characters.
You know, I don't blame him. And call me a conspiracy theorist, I don't care. All the Democrats are conspiracy theorists because they claim Trump colluded with Russia, and he didn't. They banged that drum for 2 or 3 years. So, but my theory here is that the Democrats and the media, they seem all too often to share the same talking points, and they share the same questions. And I'm not kidding here. You watch CNN, and then you watch a Chuck Schumer press conference, and they say the exact same thing over and over and over again. So I wouldn't be surprised if the talking points of the Democrat Party somehow seep their way into CNN headquarters. And we saw this in the 2016 election with Donna Brazile,
yes,
the DNC chair, getting the questions from the CNN town hall host and leaking them to the Hillary
before
Clinton
the
campaign.
Debate.
Yeah, before the debate, getting them to Hillary Clinton, and then she lied about it 4 times, and now she's hired by Fox News. So that shows you the shift that Fox is making in the wrong direction. But anyways, Ray, this Mueller report's 400 plus pages, and I was telling Fred during the break that Robert Mueller was once the hero for the Democrats. He was going to take down the Trump presidency, and Ray, I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Mueller now gets in the cross hairs of the Democrats here.
He's been disinvited from all of those parties he was going to go to and be the star. They had pinned their hopes on this guy, right?
Yeah.
And they gave him $30 million and said, dig up the dirt on the president. And he comes back and says, basically, I got nothing.
Yeah.
There's no collusion. There's no real case for obstruction of justice. So in some ways, you can understand the media being upset because they were living and breathing and hoping that this, frankly, let's be honest, they were hoping this was going to lead to the president's impeachment and removal from office. Instead, the exact opposite has happened, and now they don't know what to do.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ray. And I think, you know, we can't control what happens in Washington per se. We can't control what the Democrats do. But look, this is America. We have elections. This is a democracy, a representative democracy. So I'm hoping that the American people in large will wake up to what's going on here and how we're being tricked and lied to, honestly, on multiple fronts from different people, different parties, things like that. So nonetheless, that's what we have going on here. And we'll talk more about this report with Steve Jordahl after the 11 o'clock break, 11 o'clock Central. Ray, do you mind introducing our next guest?
Well, we are delighted to have with us today a voice very well known to our American Family Radio listeners, Dr. David Jeremiah. He's the teacher, the Bible teacher on the Turning Point program, which we carry twice a day during the weekdays, and then again on Sunday. He's the pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church out in San Diego, author of more than 50 books and a prolific writer, especially in the area of Bible prophecy. He's written a brand new book just out from Thomas Nelson called The Book of Signs, 31 Undeniable Prophecies of the Apocalypse. Dr. Jeremiah, welcome to today's issues.
Well, I'm happy to be with you. Couldn't help but be fascinated by your discussion of the news this morning. Pretty amazing.
Do you think that this is going to end the debate, or do you think it's going to get worse?
No, the Democratic Party has so invested themselves in the destruction of this president that they will just back up and they'll go after those 10 things in the conspiracy part of the report. But they've been dealt a mortal blow. Because everything they've hinged everything they have on has been cut out from under them. And you know what? I'm not going to get to tell this to anybody else, so I might as well tell you and your listeners. The first statement that the president was going to make, if indeed he does make one, is that an opportunity for him to address the wounded warriors. Yeah. And if anybody is a wounded warrior, it's President of the United States. I mean, he's been a warrior, and they've tried to wound him every which way. He's got his issues, and certainly there are lots of ways to criticize him.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anybody fight for what he believes like this guy does.
Amen.
And I'm not sure. I'm not sure I could take what he's taken.
Amen.
So today's been... not certainly the end of it, but a good day, and you can tell how frustrated the opposition is by the way they're flailing around this morning. It's kind of fun to watch.
Agree, Dr. Jeremiah. This is Walker Wildman here. I wanted to ask you a question about your book here, and that was very interesting commentary there. We appreciate that. Your book, The Book of Signs, which is talking about the end times, basically, you know, in the church, there's a lot of things we know for sure. We read Scripture, and we have definite answers on a lot of things, and we're thankful for that. But when it comes to the end times, we have some ideas about what the end times are going to be like, but some of it's kind of a mystery. Tell our listeners a little bit about your book and maybe some of the things we know for certain about God and what he wants the end times to look like.
I'm on an interview, so I can... The book came out to try to... put together the issues that so many people ask about. You know, because I've written on this before, everywhere I go, people ask questions, and there's about 30 or so questions that I get asked. And so this book is a chapter, or easy to read, understandable, illustrated chapter on these issues. So if you want to know about the false prophet, you want to know the beast, you want to know about the mark of the beast, you want to know about the rapture, you want to know about the judgment seat of Christ, you don't have to flail around and try to find it. You can just go to the index, and there you will find a chapter that hopefully explains the basic concept of these events which are out in front of us.
Dr. Jeremiah, it's Fred Jackson here. We have a story just out this morning. It's actually about a new Gallup poll, and the headline is Church Membership in U.S. Plummets Over the Past 20 Years, and church membership down about 20 percentage points. How do you see these developments with what's going on with Christianity? And let's keep it just here in America. How does that fit into some of end-time prophecy, do you think?
Well, isn't it interesting that when we lose sight of where we're going and try to make where we are our final destiny, all the wind goes out of our sails. Nobody wants... You know, the thing about prophecy that I love is that it keeps us focused on the end game, and it reminds us that what we're doing now is a preparation for that, and also an opportunity for us to encourage other people to know the Lord and go to heaven. And you know, I think if you broke those numbers down that you were just mentioning, they would be consistent in many ways, but there would be a bubble in those numbers. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah. There would be a bubble in those numbers where evangelical Bible-teaching churches are, because while they may not be growing as rapidly as they should, most of the churches that I know that are teaching and preaching the Word of God are showing a numerical growth.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting, Dr. Jeremiah. I've just noticed in recent years that you don't hear a lot of prophecy preached in our pulpits anymore.
No.
And I think, what is it, 30% of the Bible deals with prophecy?
Yeah, at least.
What is going on? Why are, it seems, pastors not giving a priority to this?
Well, I think, to put it straightforwardly, a lot of guys that I know that teach think prophecies are relevant. And their attempts are to try to help people every day with their everyday needs and all of that. I like to tell them that if you just hang on, prophecy is becoming more relevant every day. Mm. But they misunderstand the context of it, because years ago I wrote a book about this, about how every prophetic truth in the Scripture is accompanied by practical admonition. I mean, you can just go through every one of them in the context, in the broader context. There is a practical admonition that goes with the prophetic truth. So basically it's what it's saying. Here's where you're going. Here's what's going to happen. In the meantime, here's how you're supposed to live. So prophecy is not irrelevant, and it's certainly very practical. And when it is preached, there's revival.
Amen. We're talking with Dr. David Jeremiah. He's the author of the Book of Signs, 31 Undeniable Prophecies of the Apocalypse. And let me just say, folks, this is a comprehensive book. If you want to buy just one book on Bible prophecy, buy this book, the Book of Signs, because he covers not just what's happening in the world, but he gives you the outline of end times events. It's very, very well done. Dr. Jeremiah, in your first section, part one, International Signs, you cover Israel, Europe, Russia, Babylon, and then chapter 5 is about America. Well, we get this question a lot. You don't find the word America in the Bible. So where does America fit into the Bible prophecies of the last days?
Well, interesting thing is that's maybe one of the most often asked questions I get, and that is if we're, you know, we're the citadel of biblical instruction and belief, why are we not in the biblical prophecy? And in this chapter, I give a few reasons why that may be. Number one, by the time all the prophetic things happen that are primarily the book of Revelation 5 through 19 is all about the tribulation, the church isn't going to be here. And if you took all of the believers out of America, all the believers that are going to go up in the rapture, major areas of leadership, I mean, you know, we were talking about the president a few moments ago. I don't know how serious it is, but he claims to be a follower of Christ. Vice President Pence is. many of the senators that I know in America are believers. So all of a sudden, those people are all gone, and America is no longer America. It's in shambles. That's one of the things that could happen. And a lot of people believe that by the time the rapture comes, we will have fallen on our own sword financially. And you look at the debt that we're running up even now. So I mean, there's some practical reasons, but the most obvious reason is that the nations that are mentioned in prophecy that are nations that were in existence where the prophets wrote, and obviously America is a young nation and wasn't here when that all happened.
Dr. Jeremiah, this is Walker here. Tell our listeners where they can find your book and where they can and your website.
Okay, the website is davidjeremiah.org. That's real easy. And the book is on display there. We're going through these books like they were candy. It's an interesting thing that everybody says there's no interest in prophecy. Well, don't tell the guys down in our shipping department because they're going to believe you.
Amen.
But the book is available from Turning Point. It's also in all of the major stores. It's in Walmart. It's in Target. Here's one that I love. It's in Hobby Lobby, you know.
Amen.
It's in Hobby Lobby groups, and so it's real easy to find. And the best way, if you don't want to go anywhere to look for it, is just get in touch with Turning Point at davidjeremiah.org, and you'll be able to get it. And you know, there's a robust study guide that goes with it that's almost as big as some of the other books I've written. Mm-hmm. So there's that, and believe it or not, this book has 475 pages in it, 126,000 words, and I was dumb enough to read the audio book. So.
You know, that's very valuable, Dr. Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And the author actually read all that in an audio file.
It took me 17 hours and 30 minutes because they clocked it while I was doing it. But
wow.
It just came out this week. I just saw it. But it's a great thing. It's an MP3, or you can get it on a disc and just shove it in your car radio and listen to it on the way to and from work, and you could probably negotiate yourself through all those topics. And hopefully it's interesting and it keeps your attention, but most of all, focuses your attention on the future. That's what
Amen.
I hope.
Amen. Amen. Thank Amen. You, Dr. Jeremiah. God bless you and keep up the good work.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Well, there you have it. That's Dr. Jeremiah, the Book of Signs. For those watching on Facebook and YouTube, I'm holding it up here. You can go to davidjeremiah.org and find out more information about how and where to order that book there. Fred?
You know, I mentioned in our conversation with Dr. David Jeremiah about this new poll. By the way, you can go to One News Now.
Yes.
And read this. This is fascinating. I just wanted to read you the first paragraph. This is an Associated Press story. All right, folks? The percentage of U.S. adults who belong to a church or other religious institution has plunged by 20 percentage points over the past two decades, hitting a low of 50% last year, according to a new Gallup poll. Now listen to this. Among major demographic groups, the biggest drops were recorded among Democrats and Hispanics. Now, I found that fascinating. Remember in 2012 at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, they actually had a vote as to whether they wanted God mentioned in their platform, in their party platform. Is it any wonder, perhaps, that amongst those who identify themselves as Democrats,
right,
I'm no longer interested in going to church?
Yeah, very interesting.
Reap what you sow.
Yeah, and I want to get Ray's input on this after the break, and that is, you know, whether this was faithful believers of the Bible who left, or maybe we had some lukewarm people who maybe thought they were believers or were leaning towards being open to the Christian faith, then who decided it's just not for them. So that's going to be interesting to talk about. I'll get Ray's input after the break on that. Today's issues, American Family Radio, AFR.net is our website. We'll be back with more news after the break. Steve Jordahl bringing us the top headlines, and we'll talk more about this Russia report, Russia investigation, and how President Trump has been exonerated.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.